Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Oh, goodness. Thank you for letting me learn how to preach here. I really appreciate it. I still have no idea what I'm doing. Every single time, I'm like, oh, this will be a little bit better. I'll be a little more relaxed. I'll feel a little more prepared. It'll take a little less time. And then it just, oh, goodness. So good morning. Welcome to the Painted Door. My name is Morgan, and I'm one of the pastors here. Before we continue, thank you. Let us pray. Oh, Father, thank you for every person that is here. You know each and every one of us. You know where we came from and where we are going. And in all of this, send us to Christ, Jesus. Send Christ into our past, to our memories. Send him to our present, to our everyday, and send him to our future. The full length of our days, through your Holy Spirit, make us yours and make us whole. Amen. So, today we're embarking on a mini three-part series that reflects the mission of the Painted Door here in Chicago. My task is to proclaim the freedom of forgiveness that we have in Christ, which really, there's not much more to our mission than being here in our time and in our place, Chicago, which sounds so homey and cute. But if you are a Christian, you are a minister of the gospel. And in a very real and profound sense, you are here for the saving of the world. Every believer is a priest. You stand in your time and in your place as a representative of the divine life, as Christ's hands and his feet. There is a light inside of every Christian, and that light is the glory of Jesus Christ. Your priesthood is inseparable from the life of faith that you've been given, and this life of faith is the life of Christ who is within us. We are a priesthood because Christ has transformed us and is transforming us in our lives, transforming our lives into his life through his Holy Spirit. As Christ's hands and feet, we are ambassadors to the world for the whole Christ, speaking and knowing in part, but offering the whole of him, being fully known ourselves, waiting for our love to return. And what a world we have right now that needs a savior. Oh my goodness. We are a world filled with an obsession that whoever has it must earn it, or whoever looks like me, talks like me, should get it, or my people, whoever they may be, would get it. And if you have it, hold it. And if you don't have it, get it by any means necessary. Or whatever you can do to know the right people, so that you can be above the rest of the people. The world is sick. The God of love that we were made for, we have rejected. We are addicted to our disease, and we are stuck with an inward hope. And that hope is self, and we are worshipers of self. We will do anything to have the world made in our own image. All our perversion, all our resistance to God, is moving in the direction of self-worship. And when our self is our hope, self-determination, self-modification is our worship. And we are afraid. We are afraid and always serving fear. Fear of a life and a death without meaning. Fear of a life and a death with too much meaning. We hear the whispers of justice. We have this ache inside for true love. But no one will suffer in authority outside of themselves. And acknowledge God. And everyone is competing for a love that they will not receive. So, the world is lost. Without connection, not being able to tell their left hand from their right hand, it is in this disconnection from love that our desires always treasure the most selfishness within us. Ultimately, this state of lost connection is the state of being living dead. To begin to heal, we need our connection to God restored. For God is our creator and has in abundance the love that our humanity was made for. But how can we connect to the love that we were made for? How can man and God be restored? We're just unable to help ourselves, and we desperately need a savior. God's first great movement towards reconnection with humanity was answered by God becoming human, the Son of God, of the only God, took on flesh. Christ was born to us as an infant, born into suffering, lived a life of poverty, and died a death fitting of depravity. In his life he lived for us, he learned the sin and the sorrow of humanity through a life under our curse. And he bore all of this with grace and gentleness. With quiet strength, he healed the sick, fed the poor, and shed his love upon us sinners. He lived a life weeping with those who weep, feasting with those who feast, laughing with those who laugh. And when his humanity was perfect, he put himself up on a cross and opened his veins to a violent and rebellious world, letting all our sin find its way onto his flesh. And with his flesh broken, wounded, and him giving up his humanity to death, he stood in solidarity with the living dead and opened up the way for death to be exchanged for his own eternal life. In being eternal life, death could not hold him, and he took up what none of us sinners could obtain in our disconnection, a resurrection into a new humanity, marked with sin and death, therefore free from sin and death, our God-man, Savior of all people, Christ, the death of death, the destroyer of sin, the way, the truth, and the life. Proceeding from the cross, God's second great movement towards humanity is Christ's Holy Spirit indwelling in our souls with the same resurrection power that the resurrected Christ was offered and was swept up into, giving life to the dead and making us alive with Christ, uniting us to him in friendship and union with his whole person and work, true spiritual connection with the divine life. For the knowing of this Christ, we are given the gift of faith. Faith from the Spirit, who truly sees Christ as he is, and through the Spirit we see Christ through faith. So it should be asked, what about our place in saving the world? What are we supposed to do as ambassadors to this living Savior and resurrecting Spirit? We certainly invite all to come to him. But we've done a lot of control in America and in the West, and maybe more importantly than anything else, Christians right now need to know themselves. Know this, in all that you do, we do as his children. We speak after him. We follow and live out of his saving life as he grants it to us. True connection, true love from God, true love for God is found in simply being. We must live close to Christ and experience him. Only seeing him by faith can our love for him increase. More than you know, the best thing that we could do for this broken world is fall more deeply in love with our Savior. And forgiveness is always a good place to start, to see what is most true about you, so freedom and love can reign over you. With that, let's turn to Matthew 9, 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic. That's funny, when Confessor read the scripture, I was like, is he going to mispronounce it like I'm going to mispronounce it? Lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. This is Christ full on as rescuer. The story begins as and sounds as a pretty basic description of an interaction with Christ, but here we have Christ in complete rescue mode. Christ demonstrating the true nature of our forgiveness, which is the reality of our faith. The free presence of Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit. This is the heart of the gospel. It is free grace, grace upon grace, the Spirit proceeding from Christ, his person and work perfect, and his gift to you, his Spirit. And the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Jesus sees. He is not looking past us. He has the medicine that turns all our sin and all our sickness into grace for us. He sees us as sick as we really are, and he is ready and able to start with you exactly where you are. He sees your faith in him, and you are precious to him. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Jesus knows. He knows all about us. Our whole lives are laid out before him. There are no secrets. Nothing is hidden. He knows all our plans, all our agendas, the good and the bad, all the wounds that we have received, all the wounds that we've laid upon others. He knows the Pharisee and the prostitute in all of us, and to both of them he says, for which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home, and the crowd saw it, and they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. In the best possible way, Jesus doesn't care about anyone else. He's not waiting for anyone else's permission to be your Savior. He doesn't care what so-and-so said. He doesn't care if they're keeping score. He doesn't care if you can't stop keeping score. He will not stop gathering a people. He meets sinners whenever he wants. And he is no man. He is God the forgiver and God the healer. By faith, we can say with confidence that we have been called by God. Behind the beginning of faith is a living and victorious and speaking Jesus Christ, who does not call our natural ears, but calls to our souls. And we have been reborn. And his call to our soul is rebirth. We are not dealing with a person who only has the authority to respond to our faith, but he has the authority for resurrection. So we can say that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has been born of God. In this, the Holy Spirit, proceeding from the heart of Christ, to resurrect, to tell us that Jesus Christ is our God, is our Savior, and is our friend. It is from our identity as one with faith that the Scriptures connect each and every one of us to the whole Christ. And he is wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and glory. And this forgiveness is a wonder. It is a wonder greater than all the created worlds combined. A physical healing is nothing compared to the healing of forgiveness. It is a miracle that the angels long to look into. The freedom of forgiveness is the free Christ indwelling. Tell yourself all day, every day, faith equals forgiveness. It is the easiest thing to let it slip away. You are left with your faith, feeling alone and abandoned and distant, and it is simply not true. Micah chapter 7, 18 through 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning our iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. This forgiveness is a gift. We don't do faith. Faith is not a work. Where there is faith, there is Christ, and in him you have all things. There is not a hint of transactional merit in God's gift of faith to us. The gift of faith is an unconditional gift from God, who has been working for you since the beginning of time. Faith is the unveiling of the Father's unconditional love for your soul, now alive in the person and work of Jesus Christ through his indwelling Holy Spirit. This is not your own doing. It is a gift. He is not extracting payment from you. That's like when that clicked for me, that faith was not a transaction. It was just, it's like you start over again. You completely start over again. You're like, what is this? Where did I not hear it before? Were people not saying it? Did I not hear the gospel for the first? Like, how does it? It clicks. It is free forgiveness. Free. He is not seeking satisfaction for your sins. We spend so much time spending our faith on things already done in Christ. Through faith and for faith, Christ is free and Christ is yours. And this forgiveness is a historical obedience. Faith is a gift of the history of Christ. From the salvation worked in the historical Christ, we partake of the divine life. God forgave all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Every requirement needed for the gift of faith to be given to sinful men has been met by Christ alone. The cross did not only provide the basis for forgiveness, but the claim of victory for God's people. Christian, your warfare is ended. Your iniquity has been removed. On a single day, you have received from Christ's own hands double for all your sins. So come and sit at the cross. Forgiveness is a person. Faith is union with Christ, knowing in part, but promised to the whole of him. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness for all our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Live alive to his person, not to ideas of his love or ideas of his promises, but to Christ who is present in and through faith. And forgiveness is a realm. With your sins bought and paid for, forgotten, what will not be forgotten is the eternal wounds of Christ. This family is sealed in the finished reality of forgiveness. It is first the ground in which we walk before becoming the eyes by which we see, and it is our eyes before becoming the words between each other. Our experience of forgiveness is so all-encompassing. The new creation underneath us can just go unknown for years, and then it can be taken for granted, but it carries us forward timidly. But don't mistake the meekness of forgiveness for weakness. When you crash on it, it does not move for you. It will break you. But look and see what you have crashed into. You have crashed into Christ and Him crucified. And He is looking down at you. With much more tears than we could have ever expected. But also with more love and joy than you'll ever understand. So live in Christ. And forgiveness is an experience. This is the complicated part, which leads us into the most difficult space for all of us, and the Christian experience. It's an experience living with a completely unpredictable person. And I'll admit, I mean, every time I preach, I get excited about trying to explain and over-explain and re-explain the deep bond that faith has with Christ. And I know that totally comes from me wanting to prevent the difficulty of Christian experience. Like, it's just so, and it just doesn't work out that way. To try to prevent some of you from having sorrow or disappointment or doubt within the Christian life. Christ awareness just doesn't prevent that much. But it can comfort, and it can heal, and it can meet you in everything, but it doesn't often prevent. Christ is much more interested in being known and loved by the person that you are. So all of us here are bound together in the pain, the pride, the sin of our human family, and as Christians, bound together in the grace of God, bound together in faith, hope, and love, yet our experiences can be remarkably different. Whether you grow up from within the church or outside the church, all your interactions with life and sin and Christ and faith and repentance, they are all unique. You can have different blessings. You can have different hurts. Yet, and this creates a complicated wounded people. And we are all there, and it's so difficult. But He is with us. And all of us, the whole church, are united to this person of Christ through His Holy Spirit. Each of our experiences being different, each meant to tell a different story, each meant to serve its place in the household of God, yet all of us needing the same Christ. One of the greatest temptations for all of us is when someone's spot or experience doesn't jive with our experience, and you just want to shake them and just like, wake up, be who you are. But we are called to be gentle with each other. It is constantly a paradox, because the love and grace that Christ calls us to live in is as if sin belongs to this old order that was put away at the cross. But nothing reminds us so quickly of the ongoing, present human failure and sin than being around people, whether in the church or outside of the church. And to ignore the harm that we've done or suppress the harm that we've felt can be downright abusive and unhealthy. So as much as possible, live in peace and openness, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. As much as possible, confess wrongs counted, and confess sin to each other. The healing of conscience, The renewal of mind and confession and forgiveness is never one-sided. There is grace hidden in each of us for each other. So extend grace and receive grace in this way. It is ever available to you through faith and for faith. But even in this, make a wide, wide place in your hearts for those whose experience of faith and forgiveness is different from your own. Where weakness in faith and strength in faith care for each other. Where forgiveness is freely offered but never demanded. Where love is the only road to learn the full extent of what we've been given. No matter how little of him you see and how faithless your faith can seem, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is true oneness with a God and Savior whose only language with us is unconditional love. So what are we going to do for the saving of the world? Well, Mark is preaching on compassion next week. So all I will say is that in all that we do, do it as his children. Count it all to his love. In the vast fields of grace, we follow and we live out his saving life. And don't be afraid to start your Christian life over. We have no reputation but Jesus. If you are feeling like, oh my gosh, I cannot keep up this veneer of holiness much longer, let it drop. Test what you are doing to his love. Am I living like a beloved child, free and forgiven, or a stranger still searching? And if you're angry that you still feel like a stranger searching, complain day and night. Talk his ear off and he will hear you. Speak your open thoughts to him day and night. Surrender to a self-emptying holiness, opposed to the work of the flesh, but not interested in making yourself look better, in a other-focused holiness, not just abstaining from sin, but at the same time pursuing sinners. Christian, you are loved. Wash yourself in Christ's own relationship with the Father, because it is yours. 1 John 4:13-19. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world, that is, belonging to God. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he has first loved us. It is so unfortunate that we are so afraid of love, because it's dangerous. You cannot guarantee an outcome with it, but there is nothing to hide. There is nothing to hold back. There is nothing to lose. We are so afraid to let go of it, and let go of the control, because we think that we won't be able to do what God wants us to do. But in this love, letting go of the law, letting go of yourself, it is true freedom. And God, is just not interested in you loving him as anything other than a child. He does not want it. So come, let go of it, and be free. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, Spirit, be with your children. Lead us deeper into your life and walk with us. Condescend to us. Be gentle with us. And give us these qualities for each other, Jesus. Have mercy and remember us, Lord, for we are weak. We forget your love. We are addicted to fear, God. Forgive us and lead us. In your precious name, amen.